Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Let's go there tonight. Tonight is your night for breakthrough. Tonight is your night for revelation. For night is tonight for truth that breaks chains and bondage and ushers you into the blessings and the promises that God has for your life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Let's be seated in the house of the Lord. I give great honor to the pastors of this house for giving me an opportunity to stand on this stage to pour out what God poured into me into you. And I pray that your hearts are open to receive what God is saying this evening. I'm determined tonight that I'm going to give the devil hell. I am tired of him ripping the people of God off. God gave me a vision and he showed me there are so many people in the house of God who are not walking in the levels of breakthrough that God called them to. And God said, don't tell them just your story. Tell them the truth. See, because it's the truth that will set you free. And when you walk in truth, you release God to do in your life what he already established and planned to do. Amen. God's preparing you for your breakthrough. When we come into the house of God, God doesn't just call us to sit down and just receive. Amen. You know, the word God says that we've been called to freedom. But you know what? It doesn't stop at that. It says, don't give opportunity to your flesh. Otherwise, the way I would say this, don't get selfish. It's not all about you. It is about you, but it ain't all about you. And in that place, we are to love and to serve one another. That's the word of God. Did you know that serving is one of the highest forms of worship? It is. Some of you are going home and you're praying. You are fasting. You got all kinds of things going on. Lord, let me shout it. Shabba, shabba, shabba this and shabba, shabba that. You got all these ta-tas on your tongue. And God has said, I need you to walk in a place of surrender. See, when we decide to give ourselves to the cause of the house, we are pushing forward his mission. We are pushing forward his vision. And in serving him, we are offering up a surrendered heart. That's why we're not asking you to serve. Nobody asks you to serve. I mean, I'm sorry, they didn't ask you to volunteer. Just to volunteer. Because volunteering is just, I just showed up and I did something. I could just go home and just leave. Right? But serving, it takes your heart. And God is after your heart. See, what he does is he brings you into the house of God and he says, I'm going to take what I have for you and I'm going to marry it with my church. And I'm going to do a work in your life. See, we want to have the glory of God show up in our lives without first surrendering, not just only to him, but we refuse to surrender to what he's called us to do in the local church. You know, I thought about this message and I was like, you know, some people ain't going to clap about this because it's going to hit home on some things. Because it hit home on some things in me. You know, we need to, God says, when you serve in my house, he said, everything you do is seed. He says some of you are believing God for harvests in your life, but you refuse to serve. You throw money in the bucket, but your heart ain't in it. You show up and you eat and you don't tip for the bill. You come in and you live in that, you use the house, but you don't want to live in the house. It's a hard thing, people. God said that what I want to do is shape character in you. Some of us, we come into this house and we're saying, God, I'm believing you for this blessing. And then we choose to sow our seed of serving, but we're not truly surrendered. And then we're just living for our own position instead of his mission. Many of us are in this situation. We come into this house, especially C3. Some of us have, you know, backgrounds from other churches. We've served. We're professionals. We've got all the accolades. You got some ABCs and FDs and Cs and whatever else behind your name. But you don't have a heart that says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You want to know how you know that you are for the mission and not just a position? Oh, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. This is going to set you free because it's in your obedience that you are processed for the promise. You can't have the promise without the process. You want deliverance and healing, but you don't want to do what God asked you to do. You come from all your different backgrounds and you come into the house and you say, well, I've preached before. Why am I not on that stage? I got a prophetic gift. I ain't prophesying in here. They don't recognize my gift. Oh, I hit something right there, didn't I? I got a teaching gift. I should be seen and I should be allowed to show forth what God has put in me for his people. But when I come up to you and I ask you, can you serve in kids' church? Oh, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go. When I come to you and I say, we need help on the high team or on security, that's not my gift. I'm sorry. Last I checked, it's his mission, not your position. Last I checked, this ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. He knows the way that he has for you. And when he has tried you, you will come forth as pure as gold. God is wanting to take the word that he has put into your life, and he is wanting to take the leaders that are in this house to shape character into you. The word of God says to pursue love. Love is not a feeling. It's God, and it's who he is. It's the character of his beingness. And when we pursue his character, he says, you are to desire the gifts. We got it all out of turn. We got it backwards. We're running hard after the gift, the position, the accolades of man. But we don't want to build his character in our hearts. Let me help you with something. God does not promote position. God does not promote your mission. God promotes those who are surrendered to him and will allow his character to be built into them. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? And it is in your serving that God has an opportunity to touch on some things that otherwise would not be touched. It's in your serving that you receive the discipleship that your life has always needed. It's in your serving that God is saying, let me break this off, and let me break that off, and let me take you here, and let me take you there. Because it looks like what you're doing doesn't agree with what he's called you to do. But God says, I'm taking you on a journey. I'm taking you through some places that don't look like they are aligned with where I called you to be, or the vision I put on your life, or the word that was spoken on your life. But I need you to get this here so you can get this there, so you can end up over here. Do you understand, people of God? The enemy has bamboozled you. He wants you to be caught up in your own gifts. He wants you to be caught up in serving self. Because if you serve you, God has no access to change you. And if he has no access to change you, he has no access to bring into your life the blessings and the breakthrough that he so desperately wants to get to you. Let's be people who choose to live a surrendered life. Say, God, I'm gonna do it your way. It's not about me serving in a position so I can be seen. Yes, you have a call in my life. Yes, there's giftings in my life. Yes, I have talents. But God, for this season, if you're calling me to be back there with those kids and I have a prophetic gifting on my life, let me just be back here and prophesy to these babies. Let me prophesy life. Let me speak health. Let me speak into their destinies. God called you to be a leader in the workplace, in the marketplace, and in any other place in your life. Get in the training grounds of getting into the game. You're asking God, put me in, put me in. He said, I would, but you're not yielded. He said, I can't, I need you to be yielded because for where I'm taking you, it will be required. I'm more concerned about your character than your gifting. All you can do with your gifting is be a good steward. It's not yours anyway. But character? No. God can turn the world upside down with a few people who will choose to have his heart and do his will. Amen. Amen.
Let's give it up for Felicia. Come on, church. What a phenomenal way to start off this 3x10. Woo! I don't even want to go after this. Frankie, you're up, dude. My gosh, that was just amazing. Hey, I want to give honor where honor is due. I want to thank Pastor Drew, Pastor Emma, give them an air high five for everything that they've done for C3 South Campus. You guys ready? You guys pumped up? Felicia's message hit home. You guys ready to jump right in? Let's jump right in. If you've got your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It's going to be up on the Jumbotron behind me. But you see the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Now, I love this scripture because this is how I live my life. For those of you who know me, when I show up to win. For those of you who know me, when I show up to dominate. When I show up to make some flipping noise. For those of you who know me, when I show up, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to dominate or I'm going to leave myself bloodied on the field of battle for having tried. Let me give you an example of what this looks like. The tech guys are going to throw up a picture really quick. This picture is of me at this year's Emerge Men's Conference. This is what it looks like when I play to win. Bloodied, cut open, just chin just destroyed. People, that's my moneymaker. It was destroyed because I don't show up for second place. I show up to win or nothing else. And the thing about showing up to win is the mindset that there's a chance. I may not be the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, the baddest, but if there's a chance that I can win, I'm going to give everything that I am to do it. And this is proof of what it looks like. How many of you know it doesn't make sense to show up to a game that no matter how hard you try, there's no possible way of you winning? Doesn't make sense, right? If the odds are stacked so heavily against you for winning, what's the purpose of showing up? As strong as I believe in 1 Corinthians 9:24, I play a game almost every single day of my life where I cannot win. For those of you taking notes tonight, the title of my message is Playing an Unwinnable Game. Now, the game I'm referring to that I play almost every single day of my life where I cannot win is called the comparison game. Anyone familiar with the comparison game? So the comparison game makes it to where I disqualify myself from being in the game. Now, I consider myself a pretty successful guy, right? Pastor Drew mentioned it earlier. I've got a PhD in organizational leadership. I've been a business owner for the last 4 years. I'm pretty darn good at it. I get to do what I love to do and make a really good living at it. I've been married to my best friend and lover for almost 25 years. I've got two phenomenal children who are going to be way more successful than I am, and I get to do what I'm doing right here and right now. Now, some of you might be sitting in your seats tonight thinking to yourself, this guy's got absolutely nothing to complain about, and you'd be absolutely right. But the comparison game makes it to where I look around and I see men who are more successful than I am. I see men who are killing it in the marketplace, and I say, I'm not doing that. I see men whose marriages are all the goals, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm not there yet. I see men in the congregation, because I play the comparison game, who I wish I could be. You see, the comparison game says, I'm not as loud or as energetic as Travis, so I have no room to be in my city. The comparison game says that my prophecy shirts aren't as awesome as Frankie's, so I have no business being in Alliance. Comparison game will tell me that I'm not as funny as Pastor Drew, so I don't belong on this stage. I'm not as passionate as Marco. I'm not as cute as Rudy, so why even try? You see, the comparison game, the comparison game makes it to where I disqualify myself before I even step toe to the line. Now, please know, this is exactly where the enemy wants me. Because when I disqualify myself, he doesn't have to lift a finger to get me out of the game. I sit here and I tell myself, I'm not good enough to get in the game. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not adequate enough. I am not enough when I play the comparison game. But just as dangerous as this side of the comparison game is, it's almost as dangerous on this side of the comparison game. Because on this side of the comparison game, I say, I'm way better than all of you. I'm way more energetic and I'm way louder than Travis. Why am I not leading my city? My prophecy shirts are way more awesome than Frankie's. Why am I not in charge of Alliance? I'm way cuter than Rudy. Why am I not leading Pathfinders Connect? I'm way more passionate than Marco. Why am I not in charge of assimilation? I'm better than you, so why am I not in charge of more? See, on that side of the comparison game, I disqualify myself and I never even show up to play. But on this side of the comparison game, I get butthurt because I'm overlooked and undervalued. I'm overlooked and I'm undervalued, and I take my ball and I go home. On either side of the game, I lose. So how do I combat it? What's the antidote? Felicia kind of hit on it earlier. Oh, I will. I'm going there. Felicia hit on it earlier. The antidote for playing this comparison game, the game that I cannot win, is playing a game that I cannot lose. And I call it obsessive obedience. Oh, I stole that from Marco. For those of you guys, now I'm going to give him credit for this one. Obsessive obedience aligns me with the will of God and the purpose that he has for my life. It puts me in a position where I'm willing to say, whatever you need, whenever you need it, I am there. You need me to take out the trash? Point the way. I'm your guy. You need me to put on a blue high shirt and smile at people as they come through the door? I'm your guy. You need me to go into kids' church and serve? God help us. I will do what you ask me to do. Because here's the thing. The obedience game, you cannot lose. When you are obsessively obedient, you cannot lose. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we are one body made up of many parts. The comparison game will say, you're just a toe. You don't mean anything to this house. But the obsessive obedient game says, I am going to be the best doggone toe you've ever seen. Get out of the way. I will be the best doggone toe you've ever seen. When we are obsessively obedient, we position ourselves in such a way where we are open and available to do whatever it is that God has created us to do. Sometimes we have to empty the trash. Sometimes we have to clean a toilet. Sometimes we have to put on a blue high shirt. And sometimes we have to go into kids' church. Now, here's the thing. All month, we've been coming at you hard about getting in the game. Right? Please understand, if this is the only thing you remember from me, we do not need you to volunteer. We do not need volunteers. We are coming at you as hard as we are to get in the game because we want you to win. We want you to flourish. We want you to thrive. And getting in the game is what unlocks that in your life. Today, tonight, right here, right now, we've got to draw a line in the sand and says, I'm no longer going to play a game that I cannot lose. Instead, I'm going to be obsessively obedient so that I can absolutely not lose again. You see, 1 Corinthians 9:24 talks about there only being one winner. But I guarantee you that when you get in the game, we will all win. Come on.
Wow, wow, come on. Yo, yo, I think C3 should just stand for City Church of Champions. Because, man, we got a lot of champions in this place. The title of my message is called Get Back in the Game. Now, I know it sounds kind of unoriginal, uncreative, you know, because the series is called Get in the Game. It's like, get back in the game. But it's actually more intentional because, you see, when you first give your life to Christ, it's everything's new and exciting, so it's easy to jump into the game. But tonight I'm talking to somebody who experienced the power of God in your life before, but for one reason or another, you got out of the game. You see, tonight I believe there's some people sitting in this church tonight. I believe there's people listening to this podcast who the devil saw your potential, and the devil saw the call of God on your life. So he began to work overtime to get you out of the game. But I'm here tonight to stir the gift of God inside of you. I'm here to wake something up inside of you, and I'm calling you forth, and I'm saying it's time to get back in the game. Come on. Come on. In order to do that, we're going to look at the number one reason people get out of the game. Can I have the scripture on the screen? Number one reason people get out of the game. There was a man called Naaman. Is that his name? Naaman. There's a man called Naaman. He had leprosy. He needed to be healed. Somebody told him, there is a prophet by the name of Elisha. If you go to this prophet, you'll get your breakthrough. There's a church in East Lake called C3. If you go to this church... Come on. So this man, Naaman, went to this prophet's house. He took his horses and some servants, and he went across another country to this prophet's house. He went there. He knocked on the door. The prophet's servant came out and says, yeah, Elisha is playing Clash Royale right now. He can't come. So he gave me a message. Go dip in this water, and you'll get healed. Look at the verse. This is where we're going to pick up. But Naaman went away angry. Someone say angry. And he said, I thought. Someone say thought. I thought that he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. The story actually went well for Naaman because he was in a connect group. You see, he had some friends in his life that said, hey, hold on, Naaman, before you go all the way back home, you know, if he asked you to do something great, you would have done it. If he's asking you something simple as dipping in water, why don't you give it a shot? So Naaman obeyed. He gave it a shot, and he got healed. Come on. But the point of the story is this. He almost missed his breakthrough because he had a preconceived idea of how God was going to bring about his miracle. You see, he thought God was going to do something a certain way in his life. He thought if he fasted and prayed for his healing, it would come. Oh, come on. He thought if he paid his tithes, he wouldn't get evicted from his house. Oh, he thought if he did things a certain way, God would come through a certain way. The number one reason that people get out of the game is when God doesn't do something when you want, the way you want, how you thought he should have done it. So you get, come on, he had an appointment with his breakthrough. But how many know if you miss your appointment, it can lead to disappointment? Disappointment means this. It means the feeling of dissatisfaction that follows the failure of expectations or hopes. I ask you tonight, what were you hoping God would do for you that didn't work out? Disappointment is a dangerous place because left unchecked, it could lead to discouragement. Discouragement left unchecked will lead to depression. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many know it's hard to get in the game when your heart's sick? It's hard to get in the game when your heart is sick. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been at C3 a little over a year. When I came to this church, I didn't want to get in the game. I told my family, we need a breakthrough. C3 is where we're going to get it. We're going to go to C3 Church. But I told my family, you all serve all you want. I ain't going to serve. I sat in the back. The only problem with that is Emma doesn't stay in the front row. She actually goes in the back. I got a whole nother message on her, so that's for another Sunday. But I actually came and I said and asked my family, Luis, I don't know Luis, he's not here, but Luis, he's one of the guys that's, Frankie, man, you don't want to serve anywhere. I'm like, I don't want to. I didn't realize, but I was heartsick. Come on. I was heartsick. I had some disappointment that I don't have time to share with you why, but I'll share with you one day. I was heartsick for 9 years and I didn't know it. But I went to Emerge. Come on, somebody. Come on. Oh, I went to Emerge. And you know what happened at Emerge? I was at Emerge, and Mike Connell said, God's going to show you what's blocking you. I went to the altar. I couldn't even reach the altar. It was way in the back. I lifted up my hands, and I said, God. He said, you pray, and God's going to show you what's blocking you. I lifted my hands. I said, God, I want you to move in my life. Show me what's blocking me. As sure enough as God, as day, God spoke to me, and I'm out of time. So, you know what? How many give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. All right, we're good. I'm teasing. I'm not out of time. So I cried out to God, and I said, God, show me what's blocking me. You know what God said? He said, Frankie, you need to forgive me. And I said, God, how can I forgive you? You never did anything wrong. How can I forgive you? He says, Frankie, you need to forgive me. Not because I did anything wrong, but you need to forgive me because in your disappointment, you held some things against me. You believe I didn't come through for you. You see, how many of you know forgiveness is never about the other person? It's always about you. Come on. You see, disappointment is a sticky thing. It likes to stick to you. It likes to stick to stuff. The number one way, the first step to deal with disappointment is to forgive. Some of you, I'm not talking about millennial disappointment where you cry because you don't get your way. You know? I'm talking about you were walking the walk of faith. You stepped out of the boat. Come on. You were walking the walk of faith. You were believing God and things didn't work out. But let me tell you something. God ain't done with you yet. Oh, there's still the fourth quarter, baby. Come on, somebody. You see, the first step to deal. Tonight, we're going to deal with your disappointment. Somebody can elbow someone and say your breakthrough is about to hit. See, the first thing you got to do is you got to deal with forgiveness. Disappointment always attaches to forgiveness. Some of you tonight are going to come to this altar, and you're going to say, God, I forgive you. I forgive you because I thought you left me. I thought you weren't here for me. Some of you are going to come to this place and say, God, I forgive you. Some of you need to come to this place and forgive somebody else that your disappointment attached to. Some of you are going to walk up here today and say, God, I forgive myself. I forgive myself for letting myself down, not living up to my standards. Can we have the worship team come on up? Listen, first thing you got to do is forgive. The next thing you got to do is you got to keep on stepping. You got to get back in the game. You see, because the Bible says, you see, we all want to see the horizon, right? We all want to see what it's going to look like in the end. We want to see the big picture, but God shows us our steps. See, the verse says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. You see, in your disappointment tonight, we're going to pray, and God, you're going to forgive. You're going to get set free. And then you got to look not at the law big picture. You got to look at your steps. What's the first step you could take? What's something small you can do to get back in the game?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.